Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
Awesome. Everyone, you can take your seats. Fantastic and great to have you in church tonight. I'm really excited to preach tonight. It is a special time of year. It is the Easter season and there are so many good things happening in our church and God is doing so much. And what is exciting is this Sunday is baptisms and it's also Palm Sunday this Sunday. I don't know if you knew that. My mum, who's got a great sense of humour, she suggested maybe for Palm Sunday putting palms around the baptismal pool. And I thought that would be quite a tropical theme, but there's complications to that. But you are welcome to bring a palm on Sunday if you'd like to. We'd prefer you bring a friend, but the palm's also fine. But it is a great time of year, and especially as we are looking ahead to next week when it's such a time of reflection, of celebration of the cross and of Jesus' resurrection. And tonight I want to preach on something very key to the whole gospel message, the whole story of Jesus. And we actually have sung about it multiple times tonight. And I want to preach tonight about the blood of Jesus. And the reason I want to do that is I just want to bring some clarity and some biblical truth around what the blood of Jesus means for you and I. If you've been around Christianity or maybe you've seen some Christian media or things like that, blood usually has a strong representation. You may have heard a Christian, maybe not so wisely, tell you they've been washed in the blood. I think that sounds a bit scary. But it is symbolic of what Christ has done for us through being cleansed by his blood. And so I've gathered and got some beautiful scriptures together to hopefully paint a picture tonight of what the blood of Jesus means for you and what it means for me and what it means for all mankind. And so I'd love to pray before we read some Colossians together. Shout out to Colossians. I feel like it doesn't get enough love from the pulpit. Just throwing that out there to everyone that preaches. A bit of Colossians could be good. But let's pray. Let's just commit this time to God. And as Tainer said so well at the start of the service, just have an open heart tonight. God wants to speak to you. And let's pray and commit this time to God. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your church. And we thank you, God, for the incredible potential that this service has. And not because, Father, the lights are good or the music's good, but because you're here, God, and your heart is for your people. It's for people. And so we invite you, Lord, to speak to us tonight. Do something unique and powerful. And even in this time, Lord, just be drawing people's hearts to you. And we just pray, God, that we would all leave tonight with a better understanding of you and your love and your sacrifice and all that you have for us in Jesus' name. And the eighth row said, thank you, eighth row. That sounded like a big eighth row. A few people in the ninth row jumped in there, but that's all right. All right, if you got your Bibles, we're going to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and it's going to come up on the screen for us to read as well. And this passage, this section is entitled, "The Supremacy of the Son of God." That right there is pretty awesome. Verse 15 says this, "The Son, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." This is off the chain, hey. Verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." I'll just read that little bit again. "By making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. What a beautiful passage of scripture where it says that really wonderful statement, by making peace through his blood. And blood is such a fascinating thing. It holds great power over you. It's a critical part of every living creature on the planet. And if you're anything like me, I can see your blood, but the minute I see my own blood, I'm in trouble. I used to pride myself on being able to look at blood and be okay. And one of my brothers, I won't mention which one, he's terrible with blood. All it takes is one drop and he's ghost white, ready to faint. And I used to pride myself on being able to help him in those situations where it's like, hey, it's okay, I'm good. And so I used to think I was a legend in the area of blood. Any legends in the area of blood, you can help people, a couple of legends. Well, it turns out I'm not so much of a legend, because I went to get a blood test once and I went in cool as a cucumber, and the nurse was very kind to me, and I sat down on a chair and we're chatting away, and she puts the needle in. I look, and like within like half of a second, I was like, I'm either going to vomit, faint or fall asleep, but I'm not sure which one. And like, and then I started getting the shakes a little bit, and she was like, are you okay, Mr. Key? And I was like, mm-hmm. And then she was finished, and like I stood up and she was like, you might need to lie down. And it was pretty funny, because at this point in time, I was probably like 23, so I'm a grown adult, but my mum had come to the appointment and I was so embarrassed. Because again, I'd gone in there with like, I'm all good with blood, mum, I'll be out in a jiffy. And the nurse had to go out and say, is Mrs. Keane here? And say, she's like, is everything all right? It's been so long. I just gone in for a blood test and it ended up being bigger than Ben-Hur. Because my own blood gets to me. I don't like it leaving my body and I can't look at it. Blood is significant and it's powerful, and you will find across cultures and even across religious beliefs and religious systems, blood always carries great value and meaning. Certainly for the Christian faith, and especially at Easter time, the story of Jesus Christ going to the cross, giving his life for us and being resurrected, blood within that story is so essential and so important. And we've sung it tonight. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Leviticus 17 verse 10 is a great scripture to give us some truth about blood. It says, I will set my face, this is God speaking to the Israelites, I'll set my face against any Israelite or any foreigner residing among them who eats blood, and I will cut them off from the people. Listen to verse 11, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. This is Old Testament, you know, belief building, Christianity forming, truths that were going to guide God's people for a long, long time. And it's established very early on to those people, do not eat blood. The life of a creature is in the blood. It's set apart for the atonement of your sins, and it's in someone's blood that you can be, there is atonement for one's life. What's so interesting to me is that, like many things in the Bible, the Bible held the truth of things before man discovered it. And what I mean by that is that long before modern science understood the life-giving properties of blood, the Bible tells us that the life of every creature is in its blood. Seems like duh, but it's duh to you and I, but this was hot new information to the people back then. The imagery of blood conjures up emotions, and it speaks of life, but images of blood can also speak of death. And as I said before, in Christianity, we like to throw things out there like we are washed in the blood. The other week, I told a story about how I'd stolen from Kmart Ocean Keys. And I very quickly made a statement, it's okay, it's under the blood. A couple of weeks ago. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. And we sang a bit of it tonight, and it's in a lot of Christian language and Christianese, is this concept of nothing but the blood. What do we mean by that? 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." It's the blood of Jesus that purifies you from all sin. His shed blood purifies us from sin. Now, I've got 3 points tonight. They're not very long, but I've looked through a bit of scripture and I've tried to dig up 3 significant teachings or 3 significant stories about blood and its relationship to God and to us. And I'm going to start with a shout out to one of the best Christian movies of all time, which is The Prince of Egypt. If you have not seen The Prince of Egypt, you need to watch that movie. It is a great movie and actually very biblically accurate, I think. You know, obviously Ben Affleck, you know, does the voice of Moses, but, you know, other things are pretty accurate. But here's my first point. It's going to come up on the screen. This is our first big observation of blood in Scripture with a teaching opportunity for us, is blood on the doorpost. Blood on the doorpost. Let me just explain what that means. So in the story of Moses, God comes to Moses through a burning bush and he gives him this incredible mission, this calling for him to go and be the mouthpiece for God to Pharaoh about releasing the Israelites out of slavery to Egypt. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and says to Pharaoh, "God has spoken, let his people go." And Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he rejects that invitation to do so. And what ends up happening, because of Pharaoh's disobedience to God, God rains down holy judgment on the Egyptians to move Pharaoh's hand, but ultimately to make a statement to Egypt and the surrounding areas of God's sovereignty, God's power. Do not mess with God, essentially. One of the things that happens is, there's 10 plagues that come upon Egypt. And one of them is a plague where all of the firstborn in Egypt are going to be put to death by essentially a spirit of death that comes in and puts to death these firstborn things. Sounds pretty full on, right? What ends up happening in Exodus 12, and I'm going to read verse 12 in a second, is instruction comes from God to Moses, to all the Israelites, to say that this death will come upon all the firstborn unless blood is shed from a worthy sacrifice, from an animal with very specific dimensions, very specific requirements. Blood needs to be shed and then put on the doorpost of a home. And the blood is on the doorpost to say that within this house, blood has been shed so that death will not come upon that household. God's holy judgment will not come upon that household because blood has been shed to protect it. And so what would happen is that spirit would come and it would see the blood and it would pass over that house onto the next household, and that is where Passover comes from. Exodus 12 verse 12 says, "On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." A little bit later in Exodus 12, 24, it says, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshipped, and the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." We see blood here, the shedding of blood, carry significant meaning in being shed in order that the righteous judgment of God would pass over a household. We're getting a precedent here to what God would establish next, as we're going to talk about, in the Old Testament atoning of sins. But we see this incredible passing over of God's righteous judgment because of shed blood over a household. Blood on the doorpost is a reminder of God's holy judgment passing over because of an acceptable blood sacrifice. You can see the foreshadowing already. I'll just say it again. It was a reminder of God's holy judgment passing over because of an acceptable blood sacrifice. Number two, we've got blood on the doorposts. We've got blood everywhere. We've got blood on the altars next. Speaking of blood everywhere. So the Old Testament, there's a lot of blood. I will always encourage parents with young children, don't just read the Bible straight through to children. You will freak them out. It's full on. There's a lot going on in the Old Testament as it pertains to blood and sacrifices. Let's look at a little bit. Leviticus 16 verse 15. It says, he shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanliness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. So this is later now. So we've got blood on the doorpost and the righteous judgment of God passing over because of acceptable shed blood. And then a few chapters later in Leviticus, the Israelites are out in the wilderness and God is establishing a system for them to approach God, a system for them to atone for their sins. And that system is pretty barbaric. It's that every time you sin, every time you make a decision to defy God's word in disobedience to his law, you would have to sacrifice an animal. You would have to kill an animal. Now, I think that would be a pretty good deterrent for you and I today, because there would be things I would choose not to do because I know that I'd have to go and get a goat from somewhere. Thank God we're not under that system anymore. And one thing which is so interesting about back in the Old Testament is that the Old Testament priests like Aaron, a lot of commentaries will tell you they were more like butchers than they were pastors that we see today. We see pastors today, and I'm just wearing normal clothes. I'm not around a lot of meat cutting, etc. But these poor priests back in the day, these poor priests, they wanted to help people connect to God. And so they're saying, hey, bring a sacrifice to atone for your sins so that you can be right standing with God. And they're going to say, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I've done so many sins. It's okay. I'm sure it's not that bad. I'll go in and I'll sacrifice them for you and you'll be atoned for your sins. It's like, I'm telling you, Pastor, it's been pretty bad. So how bad is it? And he looks out the door and there's just like 12 trailers of goats. You know, it's been a bad week, Pastor. It's just been temptation all around me. You know, whatever it is. Now, back then, around God's people in the Israelite camp, it was a bloodbath because it was a sin fest. And we might go, what were they doing having a sin fest? We're having a sin fest all the time. As a community, as a people, as a nation, as an individual, if I'm not leaning into the grace of God, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, my life too is a sin fest. And if I was living back then, I would be backing up trailers of cows and goats and pigeons and anything I could grab. Because I would want to be able to approach God. I would want to be in relationship with holy God, but my sin would stop me. But there was blood on the altar. Blood on the altar that signified that something had died to keep me in relationship with God. Blood on the doorpost to say that his righteous judgment had passed over. And blood on the altar to remind us something has died to keep me in relationship with God. But you know, that altar being covered in blood 24/7 would also be a reminder that this isn't working. Yeah. I'm gonna be bringing you cows every week. It's never gonna end. Clearly, we're getting a picture in the Old Testament that people, humanity, the Israelites, you and I today, we need divine help to have atonement for our sins forever. We want God's righteous judgment to pass over us. And we want to have atonement for our sins and be in relationship with God. But blood on the doorposts, blood on the altar, it's not a fix-all for all time. We needed divine help. And boy, did we get it. And I've got a transitional scripture to my third point. Hebrews 9 verse 6 says, when everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood. which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. The new order's coming. Verse 11, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. I'll just read that again from verse 12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The sacrifices of animals for people's sins was a temporary solution. Christ's own blood provided eternal redemption. Verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? That is a powerful scripture. Let me read verse 14 again because I kind of butchered it with a tongue tie. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Blood on the doorpost, blood on the altar. Number 3, blood on the cross. Blood on the cross. The blood on the doorpost is a reminder of God's holy judgment passing over because of an acceptable blood sacrifice. Blood on the altar, a great reminder of man's inability to atone for their own sins. And blood at the cross is a reminder of God's divine love, of God's divine help, and of an eternal solution to the problem that is our sin. Blood at the cross is the story of Easter. It's that no one is holy enough to atone for our sins than God himself. So God would send his own son to be the final sacrifice for all sin, for all time, for everyone who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Even though the image of Good Friday, what we celebrate about the cross, is a brutal image of our Savior bleeding on a cross, it is a celebration that what is happening in that image is the reason I can approach God today. It's that he shed his blood as the atonement for my sins. There are not enough animals on the planet that I could sacrifice to atone for the sins that I have committed and will commit and in my nature. But God is, by sending his son, has provided the eternal solution for every sin I have done and will do for all time. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. In him we have redemption through his blood. Did I just read that twice? I did. I've got the Message translation. It puts it better. Here we go. Is the message going to come up? Awesome. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people. free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. That's the Message version from Eugene Peterson. What's so interesting about blood on the cross is that in that image we see an intersection of God's holy wrath and God's holy love at the same time. His righteous judgment and his loving grace both observable at the same time. We see the judgment and the wrath of God upon Jesus on the cross, but in Jesus on the cross, we see God's love, grace, and mercy to us observed together. It's not God's wrath and God's love at odds with each other, but it's both pointing to God's effort to reconcile himself and mankind together through his Son. Blood on the doorpost, blood on the altar, blood on the cross. And finally, that's why we celebrate that there's blood on me. And there's potentially blood on you if you have received that gift from Jesus. Jesus' blood being on me means that when God's righteous judgment comes over my life, he sees the shed blood of Jesus. It means when the accuser comes to condemn me, the blood of Jesus covers me. It means when I have stolen stuff from Ocean Keys Kmart, it's under the blood. Don't go there. It wasn't last week, no. I don't know if they still sell Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Anyway. Blood on you means washing. The washing away of your sin. The washing away of your past. Blood on you means the covering of Jesus Christ. Blood on you means the cleansing of your soul. It's symbolic of the inward work that Christ is doing on your soul. There was blood on the doorpost, blood at the altar, blood on the cross. You have an opportunity by putting your faith in Jesus Christ to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Symbolically. We're not going to get you down the front and a bucket's going to tip out. It's a symbolic picture of what we can experience by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that despite what we have done, we can be washed clean, made new. Though our sins were as scarlet, they can be made as white as snow. Nothing can do it but the blood of Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary for you and I. Can I stir you? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Experience the transformative power of his shed blood that was shed for you. We sang it tonight. On the hill at Calvary, his blood was shed for me. When Jesus was upon that cross, him being crucified was a mission of God reconciling you back to him. No more animals need to be sacrificed. You don't have to do anything else. The Old Testament system of people having to do something outwardly to earn themselves into God's good graces. We are no longer under that. We are under the grace of Jesus Christ. Don't buy into a lie that you're not good enough, you can't do it, that God does not want relationship with you, that you have to go on some pilgrimage. Listen, Jesus Christ went on a pilgrimage from heaven to earth to pay the price that you deserved, to live the life that you couldn't, so that you could live under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is finished in him. God's holy judgment was poured out on Jesus. It is finished. Thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. If someone could say amen, why don't you stand up and give God some praise?
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us. And special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus, both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good. in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.